And time for our Ask the Expert Hour. Some very interesting experts have shimmered into view here in the BBC Radio 7 studios. One is Richard Daniel Curtis, and the other is Mary Jane Boholst. Have I said that right?
Yeah, you have.
Oh, see, look at that. How clever am I? Guys, we're talking today about being a gifted introvert, because that is what your book is called, your joint book. But let's just talk about your backgrounds, how you came to write it in the first place. So, Mary Jane,
yeah,
how did you come to be helping people and other introverts?
So for me, I'm an introvert myself, and I actually started a business because I got repetitive strain injury in my job, and I worked in IT, and I realised that didn't really mix and wasn't conducive to staying in that for the rest of my life. So basically wanted to do something else, decided I'd start a business, was very, very shy. My introversion kind of got in the way of that, promoting my business and getting clients. So I learned how to overcome that and how to get clients and grow a business, and realize I could actually help other people who are introverts as well to embrace their introversion and basically go out there and promote themselves as well.
Okay, just out of interest, what was your business?
So I actually started off as a hypnotherapist. I do something slightly different now, which is basically helping people who are in business themselves, introverts themselves, to go out and grow their businesses, but started off as a hypnotherapist trying to get clients. And
so there is a kind of link there somewhere.
Yeah.
Richard, what about you?
Well, I started life as a teacher. Didn't we all love? Oh, yeah. I ended up working with the kids that no one else wanted to teach. So I was a specialist in behaviour and ended up working for a local authority as a behaviour expert before I started my own consultancy around behaviour. And now I do consultancy, write books and deliver training relating to both children and adults as well.
Fab. So these are our two experts. Look, two for the price of one today, Richard and Mary Jane. And if you have a question, perhaps you think you might be an introvert you have some issues around that, perhaps you feel a bit shy in social situations, communication problems, just feeling safe in the world, get in touch with the show. Now we are talking all things introvert with Richard Daniel Curtis and Mary Jane Boholst. And Mary Jane, tell me what an introvert is.
So an introvert, the way that I think about an introvert, is somebody who basically gets drained in social situations. It's more about where you regain your energy. So extroverts get a lot of energy from being around people and doing a lot of things and being really busy, whereas introverts, not so much. We kind of, in those situations, we kind of get drained and we kind of very quickly go, oh, I want to be out of here, I don't want to do this, and have no more energy to do it. We can do it for maybe a little while, but we will get, like, we'll just need to basically be in a cave for a bit and recuperate
recharge
our energy.
Yeah.
Has it got anything to do with shyness?
So for me, shyness is more about being afraid of people, being afraid of social situations, being afraid of the judgments that can happen with people. Whereas introversion is more about your energy and how you regain that energy. So they're slightly different things, but it can, if you're an introvert and you kind of struggle with the energy side of things, being around people, and you're also shy, it's like a double whammy, because you kind of can't really handle being around people because you're already fearful of what they're thinking about you and what they're going to say. And then your energy is getting really drained because you're around people and it's really, like, too stimulating. So it's kind of...
Okay, that's completely fascinating. Yeah. Now, Richard, is introversion cultured, or is it a natural part of who we are, just part of our personalities?
It's very interesting, because actually the current thinking is that you could be predisposed to be a particular personality type. And they used to think just in terms of introvert versus extrovert, but that's now broadening out to include middle ground as well. So we can be genetically predisposed to be a particular personality type, but then the context, the environment that we grow up in, our experiences during our sort of childhood and into our teenage years, can then affect and influence our personality.
Okay, so here's a question for you from Marco in Fareham. It says, let's not do Marco just yet. Let's do Daisy in Caution. What if I don't feel like I'm an introvert or an extrovert? What if I fall in the middle?
So that would be classed as an ambivert.
An ambivert.
Ambivert.
Never heard that word before.
So an ambivert is someone who actually can recharge either by being on their own in their, you know, in their own company, or by being in social situations and actually having that attention, having that focus. So elements of extroversion as well as elements of introversion. This is something that, that our understanding is still growing, I'm going to be honest with you. It's certainly only started to appear in papers and research over the last sort of 5-10 years, whereas much of the personality introvert extrovert stuff relates back to the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay, and an extrovert is somebody who gains energy from being around other people.
Yeah, for being involved with social situations, and actually they feel kind of lost when they're on their own. They don't know what to do, and actually they're like, when's my next social occasion?
Okay, so earlier this morning, Andy sent in an email from Germany, where he's listening, and he says, I've looked closer into what it means to be an introvert, and I've discovered how misunderstood introverts are. We aren't shy, too quiet, moody, or any other label people like to put on us. So let's just talk about that labelling. Mm-hmm. When does it start, and how damaging can it be?
When does it start? I think it starts when you're a kid, right? But people see you a bit kind of quiet, you're a bit withdrawn, maybe you're not as willing to like join, just jump into situations as other people, because a lot of introverts as kids were kind of, so personally as an introvert I like to step back a bit and watch a situation before I join in, and so that's a very like introvert trait. And if you do that as a child, people will think there's something wrong with you because you're not going out there and playing with other kids willy-nilly kind of thing. And so it can get, you can get labeled quite young when you're going to school, and it can be damaging because you think, oh, there's something wrong with me, I'm not like everybody else, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so you can feel like, you know, what's wrong with me, why can't I just do this thing that everybody seems to be finding so easy and enjoyable, why does this feel like I'm like hiding away from it and not able to do it? And so it can, if depending on your personality, make you feel there's something wrong here, like oh my god, I need to like fix myself or hide or do something to avoid that.
And we
judgment.
See that distance and that difference emerge, particularly during middle childhood, so the years sort of age 8 through to about 12. So you see it particularly in that transition to secondary school in the UK. And so that's when children start to have more self-awareness and notice more of the differences in between their own personality and others.
And can that be a difficulty? Because I'm thinking about, you know, when it's the summer holidays, you go away abroad and your mother says, oh, go and play with the other children. Mm. I mean, that can be, I presume, a terrific pressure if that's not what you naturally want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For some children, actually, they just want to recharge, rest by being on their own, by going exploring, doing their own thing, and are very happy with that. Whereas other children, I mean, I'm obviously excluding the teenage factor in all of this. whereas other children, want to go out there and meet new friends when they're on holiday and actually just enjoy those social things.
Okay, so as parents, we possibly need to be a bit more educated and a bit more respectful. Stay there, guys. I'm going to play some tunes and bits, and we'll come back and talk about Marco's question. I'm an introvert, very shy. Any advice or suggestions on how I can cope with job interviews better and appear to be more confident? It's 24 minutes past 12. Now, I'm an introvert and very shy. Any advice or suggestions on how I can cope with job interviews better and appear to be more confident? That was what Marco was asking. What do you think, Mary Jane?
So I think what helps with interviews is practice. So find somebody to practice putting you in this situation and asking you typical kind of interview questions. I think a lot of the time we can feel really pressured in an interview situation anyway, even if we're not an introvert, it can just feel really pressurizing. So actually practicing it can help us feel much better. Part of our need as an introvert is actually we do like to feel prepared, and that will help us feel confident as well. So actually doing some preparation beforehand will just give you the like, oh, this question I've done before, I know the answer, I know how to answer this question, I know what they're looking for, and so I can sit there and I can be a bit more relaxed about how I answer it. So that will help. Just a slight distinction between being an introvert and being shy, just because we have already mentioned it, but it is about, the shyness is more about the fear. So with a job interview, it's that fear of rejecting you or not getting the job or whatever it might be. And it's really thinking about the fact that you wouldn't have gotten the job interview if they didn't think there was something about you that they would be useful for the job. And so it's keeping that in mind can help you also feel more confident about doing it. And just preparation, I think, can really, really help. with that as well. Richard, do you have any suggestions?
No, I mean, my point would be about being researched so that actually you can show your technical skills and your technical knowledge. It does not just rely on being able to think on your feet and you know, your personality.
Yeah. Talking earlier about introversion and things like Andy says, we also don't do well with small talk.
Yes.
these are the kind of social niceties, aren't they?
Yes.
Do you have a terror of small talk?
So I used to actually be like, I really hate small talk, but I've got this to this place and where I'm like, I understand why we need small talk better. And I actually met an introvert recently who was like, I don't do small talk. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I get why, as introverts, we don't like small talk, because actually we much prefer having deep conversations with people. But you can't have a deep conversation with somebody without first kind of getting to know them a little bit and having a bit more of a, like, how's the weather type conversation, because people kind of need to get to know you a little bit and feel more comfortable. And then when you understand that, it's a bit more like, okay, so we need to do a little bit of small talk before we kind of feel like, okay, this person's not going to judge me as being whatever might be. You know, the fear might be too much, too little, whatever. And they're actually going to be friendly to me and we can actually have this conversation and it will be interesting. So it's just a kind of way that you think about small talk and what it means to do it. I think a lot of introverts just think, oh, it's just this boring thing that we have to do. But actually, if you use it well, it can help you to really build a good connection with somebody and get you to that stage where you can actually have a really, really good conversation with somebody. But you have to take the time to actually do the small talk first.
Yeah, it's psychologically speaking, it's all about having that shared experience, which is why we like to talk about the weather, because that's a shared experience and that helps to gain that trust in that conversation. Now, actually, a really good coping strategy is to just ask the person about themselves. Because people, people generally do like talking about themselves. So if actually you find yourself in a situation, you're starting to feel that you're struggling, just ask lots of questions about the other person. They'll think how wonderful and how amazing you are because you're just so interested in them. and you're, as the introvert, not actually having to do much speaking because you're just asking, asking about their family, asking about their work and all of these sorts of things.
Now, I noticed when you both walked in the door, you were both very confident. You looked at me, you held out your hand. In Richard, you were practically round this side of... the desk to greet me, and I just wonder, have you always been able to enter a door that that confidently, or is that just something that you have made yourself do and you've learned?
That's for me, it's very much my coping mechanism. It's how I deal with it. So actually, an example would be yesterday I was hosting a conference in Coventry for people from across the country. So I was having to be very out there, I was having to be very gregarious, making sure that I made lots of eye contact and things like that. Now I've had to learn that, and certainly as a teenager, I wouldn't say boo to a goose. I was bullied enormously. I would hide away whenever I could. Breaks and lunchtimes, I would try and hide away in the drama department. Actually, where I did lighting and sound, and so I would just shut myself in the room and just be tinkering with the lights or the sound equipment in order to just avoid those situations. So what I've done a lot more of, particularly during my 20s into my 30s, was just practicing and pushing myself so that actually now I can spend a day, like yesterday, hosting a conference for all these people that I've never met before. But actually, then what I've done is last night and this morning, I've just had some real kind of me time, just shut myself away and just kind of recuperated.
Okay, well, we will come back to that very shortly. I've got a few little bits of furniture to do. It's 26 minutes to one. We're in our Ask the Expert hour, and our experts today are Richard Curtis and Mary Jane Boholst, the authors of The Gifted Introvert. Now, guys, I've been looking at your book, and it's a self-help book, but it's the best kind of self-help book because it asks you to do really straightforward things to get you thinking about your behaviours. So far, I'm looking at the very first activity. In your journal, write on a page what the biggest social problem you feel you face is. And how does it make you feel? So how did you come up? Because I know this book is around 7 steps to help you explore and deal with your introversion. It's really difficult, isn't it? Because you're clearly very successful people, and the book is called The Gifted Introvert. So the suggestion is that you don't need to let your introversion hold you back from anything.
Yeah, definitely. That's the suggestion. Anyway.
So, Richard, tell me about your 7 steps. to success?
Well, we met because I was chairing a conference on mental health, and Mary Jane was going to be speaking there. And we just got talking and sharing our story and just learning about each other. And both of us are introverts naturally. Both of us completely just love being on our own and just recharging from just kind of our own space. And we just got talking and we started just comparing elements of our story. And actually, it just really transpired that there was basically seven common themes. And it was all about things like, recognizing when you're successful in yourself, being comfortable, with feedback, all of those things that
they're difficult for everybody, aren't they? Not just introverts.
Well, definitely, especially if you're struggling with your self-identity or with your personality. And so it then to put yourself in a vulnerable position by asking other people to give you that feedback can be very hard. And so we don't do that's obviously not something we tackle right at the start of the book. We start with trusting yourself and work out from there. But it is part and parcel of it. Of the journey that we've both been through is recognizing how other people see us and learning to accept that, learning to be comfortable in our own shells.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just looking at some of the elements of the book, Mary Jane, and there is this learning to trust. What does that mean?
So I think when it comes to being an introvert, you can feel like you don't know who to trust or how much to trust yourself because people are telling you that you're wrong or you're different or whatever. And it feels like, how do you work out what things to trust and who to trust about that? And it can be very challenging to work out this person is a person I can trust because they've shown me that they can do that over time, or, this person hasn't because they haven't done this. And it's just a challenge to work that out. I think a lot of everybody has that, introverts, extroverts. We all have to basically filter people, but introverts can, because we kind of avoid people, it can be harder for us to work out, actually, this person doesn't necessarily have kind of bad intentions. It's just that, we're kind of a bit standoffish with people maybe because we get drained by being in social situations. So it's working out what thing it is.
That leads me to this business about misperceptions. Mm-hmm. So, Richard, how to adjust misperceptions? And are those misperceptions that you create, or are they ones that are coming at you from outside?
It can be either way. So an example would be, I a few years ago, and my girlfriend will tell you this, when she first met me, she thought that I was very abrupt, that I was arrogant, that I was very patronising, and that's just the way that I come across. Now, when she told me that very early on in my relationship, I'll be honest with you, I kind of just was a little bit taken aback by it. But actually, that is how I'm perceived by some people. Whereas actually, in my head, I'm being very concise, very factual, and not labouring a point. So that is an example of a misperception where actually I think I'm being portrayed like this, whereas actually for someone else, then this is how they're perceiving me. So certainly when I'm around new people, then I do adapt my style and pattern of voice to allow for that.
Okay, very interesting. And Mary Jane, how to recognise fulfilment? I wonder if this ties in with the success thing. How do you know when you're successful? What does success looks like? Something different for everybody?
Yes, definitely. Everybody's got a different idea of what success is and what fulfillment is. And it's really taking that time to work it out for yourself, because you can very easily go through life and think, success is, the big house and £1 million and, fast car, whatever. But actually, is that really what you want? If you're an introvert, probably you don't really want a big house necessarily, unless you want a big house with land and like lots of space. Maybe you want a castle which has a moat so you can put people
yourself,
at a distance, kind of thing. But it's really working out what is it that you want as a person, what will help you feel fulfilled, and what would be that success, what would that look like. And it's not necessarily the same thing for
and
everybody.
I'm guessing there'll be an activity in here which will ask you to set a short-term goal so that you can work out that you did get there.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in short-term goals.
So important, but also knowing your direction of travel, because it's pointless setting lots of short-term goals if you don't actually know where you're trying to get to in the end. And this is kind of where we're taking our readers through this journey. Actually, identify where you're trying to get to in the end, but actually let's break that down into little things that you feel that success. And what we know in terms of what's happening chemically inside of the body is then that drives you to keep going. Whereas if you don't feel that success in the short term, if you don't get the endorphin rush, and this is kind of what we talk about when we're talking about, you know, what does success feel like? If you don't get that endorphin rush, then actually for your body, certainly chemically, there's no reason to keep going. And so it will try and do its best and have that little voice that says, we're not getting anything from this, or you know, don't bother, just leave it. Oh, I'll be right. You can leave it till next week. All of those sorts of things are just your body and your brain trying to sabotage you, you know, on your journey.
Oh, my brain's trying to sabotage me every day. Darren in Havant says, do introverts dislike people?
Okay, so some introverts can dislike people. I think it's like some extroverts dislike people as well. Like, it's not necessarily an introvert-extrovert trait. I think a lot of the time, I have actually met quite a few introverts who are like, yeah, people, they get really frustrated with people. But I do think it's mostly because they haven't really understood that their own personality and the way that they work kind of interferes with how they see people. As actually, I actually really like people, but I'm an introvert. And so there's just a level of, I can be around people, but I have to limit that because it will drain me if I let it go too far. And that's just being aware of that and being able to adapt.
Absolutely. And, you know. I mean, an example would be, I love a big party. Not because I
can see you, Richard, dancing on the tables.
I am like that, actually. I am like that. But then that kind of puts me in my own little world, you see. But I love a big party because actually I only spend a little bit of time with a group of people, then I go and talk to another group of people, then I go and talk to another group of people. So actually I'm not I'm not with two or three people for the whole evening. And this is part of how I cope with large social gatherings, is actually I circulate, and that's part of my coping mechanism.
You don't have to be responsible for sustaining a social interaction. That's very interesting. I can remember going to a party with a woman who she was the wife of one of the chaps there, and she sat in the corner and she practically hid behind the curtains reading a book while the whole of the party went on around her. I felt uncomfortable. Gosh, yeah. Because it was clear that the experience was awful for her. But I'm guessing now that she must be an introverted personality who hasn't read your book.
Probably.
Finally, just very quickly, Gareth in Southampton says, I'm a shy person, but being on beta blockers has changed all that. Now, I mean, I can't tell whether Gareth is shy or introverted, because I'm guessing that some people are confusing the two things. But do you find people come to you and they have tried to medicalise their condition?
I've certainly seen some people come to us with what would be the clinical diagnosis of a general anxiety disorder and an anxiety condition. Now, obviously, neither of us are medically trained, so we wouldn't get involved. If we believe that would be the case, then generally speaking, we refer them onto or signpost them to services who would look at the clinical diagnosis. If actually it's more to do with how they're coping with it, with their personality, then that's where we would pick it up. So, yes, I've certainly seen some people coming my way and talking to me who have clinically diagnosable conditions. But generally speaking, actually, they then get picked up by medical services rather than by what we do.
And finally, Mary Jane, when you're mentoring somebody, an introvert that comes to you, what do they need to have in place to ensure that they can make progress?
What do they need to have in place? Well, so basically they have to be willing to make change. They have to be willing to look at themselves and see that actually they're not a bad person. They have really great gifts inside, but they just have to tweak their behavior slightly so that people can see what they've got inside, because that's mostly the issue. Like, we have all these great ideas, we have all these great enthusiasms and passions, but we don't know how to get them out into the world. And it's because we're kind of mismatched between what people see and what we actually are inside. And so it's having that willingness and being able to show it and change those behaviours so you can get out there. And
everybody can change.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. And I can tell you, the gifted introvert, Hidden Tools for Success, is a seven-step program. It looks really straightforward and easy to follow. And I'm pretty sure that if you are an introvert and you want to find some tips for tweaking your behaviour, as Richard and Mary Jane said, it would be a useful tool. Thank you very much, Mary Jane and Richard, for joining us here on BBC Radio 7.
Thank you for having us.